After a 59-year wait by the NFL and an 11-month-plus wait by the Kansas City Chiefs, we are that much closer to making history as Super Bowl 59 from here in New Orleans looms late Sunday afternoon. And, of course, this windblown edition of Defending the Kingdom is brought to you by the awesome people at Ticketmaster. And yes, they have come through for a lot of fans who we have seen here in New Orleans as we've been here all week.
It's Samaje Perine at the 30. First down! I love you, Samaje Perine!
It's been the windiest day so far. But here where the Gulf of Mexico comes into the Mississippi River. And anyway, here we are.
Here we are. Yeah, it wasn't windy until just now. It was like pristine and perfect and clear. And just like last time when I was talking about how it was like really quiet, as soon as we started recording, we heard like police sirens and helicopters flying over. Today's the wind. I don't think it's supposed to rain, but it kind of feels like it might.
Well, it's not the training camp rain we had, or even we had rain, I think, in Miami, didn't we, at one point? Or there was some shower.
We did.
Anyway, so.
And in Vegas, we had like a downpour. Remember that?
Yeah, that was strange.
Like a desert rain.
Yeah. So we just have the wind here in the Big Easy, or the Crescent City of New Orleans. But again, we're that much closer. Just think about it. We said that this journey started just minutes after winning Super Bowl 58. There was discussion about being the first team to ever three-peat, and it's been a year. And being here and this close is a bit surreal to me.
We've talked about it, you know, all year long, but what's cool about it is every single season, of course, the goal is the Super Bowl, and we're like, oh, we have to do this and that to get to the Super Bowl. But this season is so unique because of the history on the line. And yeah, we talked about this a calendar year ago about, hey, no team's ever won three Super Bowl titles in a row. We have a chance to do it. And I mean, like we've talked about on previous episodes, there were so many steps along the way to get there. I mean, you had to go through OTAs. You had to have the shortest offseason in NFL history. Again, you had to play a first place schedule and go 15-2 and make the playoffs, win the division again, get that one seed, beat a really good Texans team, beat a really good Buffalo Bills team. And yeah, now we're here in New Orleans, and honestly, it's still kind of hard to believe. And
every day but Tuesday.
Every day but
three
Tuesday.
Three games in 11 days.
Uh-huh.
And Buffalo kept breathing down our neck. There was no wiggle room of like, well, we can lose this game and be okay. There was for a while.
But once we lost that game in Buffalo, there was no wiggle room.
And there was no wiggle room because they would have had the tiebreaker. And so that dynamic that you just described so very well has been just lying on everybody's shoulders this whole time.
And how often do you have a goal like this that everyone is collectively working toward, and then you get there, and we're on the doorstep of it? I mean, the game plan is in. Coach Reed talked earlier today about how this week of practices is all about kind of just refining and polishing and finer tuning everything. But, I mean, it's here. I mean, this is an opportunity to make history. I think it's so cool that we are going to be in the building in the Superdome to see the Chiefs maybe win a third straight Super Bowl, something that's never happened before. And for millions around the world to witness this is something else. So we're going to talk about it, but I kind of just want to fast forward to game day at this point.
Yeah, and in the city of New Orleans, which for years, at one time, it was the world's biggest port, or nearly one of the top three or four ports in the world. It's still prominent, obviously, where it's located geographically, but it's a nice launch pad for our trip around the world here.
Yeah, so I've got five today. Of course, we have like way more than that, but for the sake of time and everyone's ears because of this wind, I'll make it quick.
Five for the fifth Super Bowl.
You know, trying to manifest it here. So heard from Ted and Lois in Honolulu. Ted was born in Olathe, but moved to Honolulu when he was 10 years old.
Oh.
So representing the kingdom out in Hawaii.
Good place to move to if you're going to move.
Yeah, make it out to Honolulu. We'll do a DTK on location. Dennis is in Herndon, Virginia. He was 8 years old when Super Bowl IV happened. He remembers it well. He also met Buck Buchanan that year out in Overland Park, and we'll never forget it. So
we lost him way too soon. And George is so gracious and to remember his memory. But, man, I wish he would see this. I wish he'd meet Chris Jones, because Chris is the reinvention of Buck Buchanan.
Buck Buchanan would love Chris Jones.
He would. and chop it up.
Yeah. Anyway, shout out to you, Dennis. Shout out to Chad. He wrote in that his wife, Chrissy, will be celebrating her 45th birthday on Super Sunday. So, Chrissy, happy birthday to you. Hopefully, it's a birthday you'll never forget because you're watching the Chiefs hopefully win the Super Bowl. So, shout out to Chrissy and Chad. Heard from Allie in Nashville, but she's originally from Mississippi. Her dad was the high school coach at the high school where Willie Gay and A.J. Brown played football.
We're in Starkville then, right? Would it have been...
She didn't say, but if you know, that's what it is, yeah.
I'm thinking Willie Gay Jr. played high school at Starkville High.
Okay, well, there you go.
And so A.J. Brown, I didn't know that too. Hey, all right.
Can you imagine being
Hail State.
A high school kid playing against Willie Gay or A.J. Brown?
No.
Cannot.
It's who do we play next week.
Exactly. So she never really had a football team growing up, but just one day in 2017, turned on the TV, and it was Patrick Mahomes' first career start. And she was like, I like this guy. And she's been a diehard Chiefs fan ever since. So shout out to you, Allie. Then lastly, we have a listener from Neodesha, Kansas. Are you familiar?
You ready?
Yes.
Neodesha.
Neodesha, of course. Yeah, that was my next guess.
It's Neodesha.
Neodesha, where is it?
Home of the Blue Streaks. Southeast Kansas.
Okay.
Northwest of Pittsburgh and east of Wichita. Let's put it that way. But they are the Blue Streaks.
What's a Blue Streak?
Not sure, but if you remember, so St. Thomas Aquinas now in Kansas City, right? The Saints.
Yeah.
At one time, that high school, for the most part, was in Shawnee, right on Johnson Drive.
Okay.
And there's still a parish there, and that was called Shawnee St. Joseph High School. And they were the Blue Streaks. Hmm. Highland, Kansas was the Blue Streaks until they merged with Donovan or with Midway Denton to make Donovan West Mustangs.
Okay.
What is a Blue Streak? It's like, I think it's like a lightning bolt or something. So.
I'm okay with it because it's pretty unique.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard of a Blue Streak, but just need some more clarification on what it is. But anyway, shout out from Neodesha.
Someday we'll go to Neodesha.
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 I learned something today. That's great.
These,
all right.
Yeah, our geographic lessons to even understand where the Philippines and what hemisphere it is in has always been good for me. So defending the kingdom, we try to be really very cultural and educational.
Yeah.
Our education on this one, which is that much closer in waiting almost 12 months for this moment. And again, the NFL has waited for 59 years of Super Bowls for this moment. We're going to focus on the Chiefs offense against the Philadelphia defense, just the opposite of what we discussed when we taped here on Tuesday. But it is, there's some matchups here that are intriguing. This Philadelphia defense, we can jump into them. They're on the honor roll. When you look at where they rank, they're in top four in most every category. Best in the league in total defense, scoring defense, only 288 offensive points scored. Best in passing defense, best in the league, only allowing 35, 20 plus completions. I think they've drafted very well to their defense. When you look at the rookies getting Cooper DeJean, who a lot of Kingdom defenders know because he's from Ida Grove, Iowa, a little town in West Central Iowa. And his high school, by the way, is OABCIG High School.
OABCIG. OBSIG?
Okay, Iowa, I love you. But your high schools, what they do is they combine. It would be like Smith Center going with Phillipsburg, Kensington, and Lebanon, and it'd be SCPKL.
Okay.
And it's like
it's a lot.
OB
doesn't really roll off the tongue.
Anyway, Cooper DeJean, Quinion Mitchell.
Yeah.
They were able to get Jalen Carter 2 years ago, and you and I both, when we were doing the draft, are like, whoa, okay. They get the Georgia All-Stars on this team, Nolan Smith. But they've drafted very well and built a very good defense front to back.
N'Kobe Dean on this team.
Oh, yeah.
Getting Zach Bond, where
that was a big deal.
I mean, he's had an incredible season,
yep.
Kind of out of nowhere. What's interesting is we just saw these guys 2 years ago, but the defense is still really good, but looks totally different because they've had such a youth movement. I mean, last time we saw these guys in the Super Bowl, it was all about Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham, and Graham's still on the team, obviously, but James Bradbury, a lot of older players, and they've really replenished their roster with a bunch of young players and haven't skipped a beat. You mentioned that they're top five in a bunch of categories. They allowed the fewest offensive points of any team in the league this season. Number one total defense, that's in terms of yards allowed per game. Number one pass defense, and fewest plays of 20 or more yards allowed in the NFL. They've been really good, and they have playmakers everywhere. Kind of got me thinking, because we move on from these Super Bowls, and I kind of forget where teams ranked that we played. I looked up where our previous opponents ranked when we faced them in the Super Bowl, and it's kind of interesting. So Super Bowl 54... The 49ers had the number two total defense, number nine scoring defense. Super Bowl 57, these Eagles, had the number two total defense, number eight scoring defense. And then last year, the Niners had the number eight total defense, but number three scoring defense. So the Eagles are really good defensively, but it's no new task for the Chiefs. We're usually facing, obviously, a very good team in the Super Bowl. And traditionally, we've faced some very, very good defenses. And Mahomes in his career, I looked this up after we beat the Chargers earlier this year because they had the number one scoring defense in the league at the time. He's 8-2 against the league's number one scoring defense and 21-3 against top five scoring defenses. So let's just do that again, Patrick.
Yeah, and remember last year, San Francisco had the most sacks since the 85 Bears.
And then the Eagles the year before that.
Were the team with the most sacks. This team doesn't get as many sacks, but really front to back, side to side, this is a better defense than the Chiefs faced in Super Bowl 57. Mm-hmm. The other piece of this is the Vic Fangio element to, and a story to this game. Vic, of course, a longtime defensive coordinator. He was Matt Nagy's defensive coordinator in Chicago for 2 years, and Matt speaks very highly of him. Matt talked to me today about how he would prepare and be very good in the way he approached it, and then he was head coach of the Denver Broncos, right? So we've seen Vic in a variety of ways. Coaches faced him a lot. His approach generally, not sure, and he's kind of done that with this team this year, but in the playoffs, they've kind of ratcheted up some, but they will test your patience and they will test your resolve. They will also see if you're just going to take little chunks and then do their bit to take it away. And that's what they've been able to do. They're plus 11 in the regular season and takeaways, 10 over zero in the playoffs, although a couple of those are special teams. So this team loves to pop it out. They love to poke the ball out. And coach told me today that this is the team that pokes it out even with their upfront defenders. Usually the Peanut Tillman types are DBs or linebackers. When you look at these guys of Carter, Sweat, Huff, and others, they'll punch it out right at the line of scrimmage. They're looking to punch, not just play gap control. So that's the theme of this Philadelphia defense and centering around the overall approach of Vic Fangio, but it does bring – we faced Vic before. This is not a brand new guy.
And he was also consulted by the Eagles before the last time we faced him in the Super Bowl, right? He came on board in kind of like a consultant role.
How do you beat the Chiefs guy?
Yeah, exactly, because he had seen the Chiefs and Mahomes so much. And he consulted the Eagles going into Super Bowl 57. Kind of funny we're facing him now again when he's actually the defensive coordinator for the Eagles. But, yeah, I mean, what's interesting is – if you look at the first iteration of the Chiefs offense with Mahomes, it was all about the big play and the home run shot. And the Buccaneers in Super Bowl 55 took that away, and the Chiefs struggled to adjust. And that's what 2021 was all about, was learning how to play football kind of in a different way. Well, the Chiefs have kind of mastered that now, of this kind of chipping away down the field, taking what the defense gives them. I mean, Mahomes has completely reinvented himself in that way and become the best quarterback in the league. And not only the explosive pass game when it's there, but also kind of the short game. And I think in a lot of ways, the Chiefs are built to play against a defense like this. Now, the Philadelphia defense is still really good. The Chiefs have to go out there and do it. But Mahomes is patient. He's not only looking for the deep shot now. And I think this collection of receivers that we have might be the most comprehensive that we've had in a long time, particularly with Hollywood now back, because you have players like DeAndre Hopkins, Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy really coming into his own now over the second half of the season. Juju Smith-Schuster coming up with some big catches against the Bills a couple weeks ago. Don't forget about Justin Watson as well. So I think with the variety of weapons in the passing game and how they all are able to take advantage of kind of what the defense gives them, and, of course, Travis Kelce mixes in there, too. You can't just focus on one guy, and there will be openings. Just a matter of, are you willing to take the 4-yard gain when you really want the 50-yard gain? And Mahomes has gotten so good at that, about kind of managing it, saying, hey, I'm going to take this right here, and if we have a shot later on, we'll take it then. That's the thing with this Fangio defense. You have to be patient, and you can't turn the ball over. That's the thing. You mentioned it. I mean, this Philadelphia defense has 104 takeaway points this year, third most of any team in the NFL. 27 drives for them this season began in opponent territory, second most in the league behind only Buffalo. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago going into the Bills game. The Philadelphia offense loves to play ball control. They love to run the ball with Saquon Barkley. You cannot give them extra opportunities. Yeah. Can't turn the ball over at your own 40, and then they have Saquon, and they're going to run 5 minutes off the clock and go score a touchdown. And that's kind of what doomed all these teams they've played in the playoffs. You mentioned they're plus 10, haven't turned it over themselves. Well, the Packers had four giveaways. Yeah. Rams, two giveaways. And then the Commanders had four giveaways. In that Commanders game alone, the Eagles scored 28 points off of those four turnovers. So the Eagles are already really good. You can't be giving them extra opportunities by turning the ball over. Patience, not turning the ball over, and red zone touchdown efficiency, which the Chiefs were 4 of 6 against Buffalo. Those are three major keys in this one.
Philly hasn't trailed yet in the playoffs. And it started with Green Bay. They fumbled the opening kickoff. Like this, yeah. it was
they
on
have two
from
of those this
end.
Postseason.
And they've had two special team takeaways like that. But I'm with you again, and I've quoted this a lot. But before DeAndre Hopkins and the trade with Tennessee, Patrick had 6 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. Very uncharacteristic, but it's just what it was. The Chiefs were still winning games. But after D-Hop arrived, it's 22 touchdowns over 3 interceptions. Pat now has 288 passes without an interception thrown.
Knock on wood.
That's the best for any quarterback entering a Super Bowl ever. No turnovers since week 11. I mean, so to your point, it's a good one. And I would say that D-Hop is perfect. What Juju Smith-Schuster, and he's got the ability to get 2 catches for 60 yards like he did in the last game. But he's also what I saw that Jason Avant, coach has always had this guy, who's like the defenseman in hockey, who can come up and still like fire a shot from mid-ice in the blue line and get a goal. And he's just been a great mover, blocker, shaker. And this is all the stuff that leads to first downs. We didn't mention Noah Gray. Noah Gray's a much better player than he was in Super Bowl 57. And we saw that when they needed him the most, the 2 touchdowns. He had 4 touchdowns in that span and 2 against Buffalo. And the running backs, I think, are more of a factor in the passing game now by scheme, by Pat's adjustment to the way he plays, and in their ability. Because all 3 running backs have shown the propensity to catch what looks like harmlessly a check down throw. But a check down throw to Samaje Perine turns into a game clincher against Buffalo because he breaks tackles. Same with Kareem Hunt. And we know that Pacheco's worked on this part of his game. So you have 3 running backs. You have 2 tight ends, essentially. You've got all 6 wide receivers who can do it. And you're putting all that into battle against a guy who's going to force you to do exactly what we've laid out. Now, the one key, too, you talk about the turnovers. And this is copy and paste from Buffalo.
In a lot of ways, yeah. Very
so
similar.
Many, it's copy and paste from the Buffalo game. A 2-yard gain, a 12-yard gain, a 20-yard gain, a 42-yard gain. It all remains the same. Philadelphia will look to punch the ball out, and in many times, the most dangerous time is after a gain of 20 yards or more. It's human nature to relax or look up at the big screen or thinking, I've got a big play. And that's when the guard goes down, and that's where Philly will pop it out. Buffalo did the same all year. And that's how they got so many offensive opportunities, as you alluded to, on the plus side of the field. So for the Chiefs, it's being disciplined in route running, disciplined in not only catching the ball, because you're going to get some underneath throws, you're going to get hit. Maybe it's 4, maybe it's 5, but then to be aware the entire game, to hang onto the ball with your life, because this team, more than any front to back, and coach was saying this, will look to punch it out. Buffalo's right behind him, but Philly will use the defensive line to do it. So it's going to take some incredible discipline and strength for this Chiefs team to avoid those turnovers.
I think it was early in the Commanders game. Was it Terry McLaurin that had the fumble early? And it was one of those where he rarely fumbles, yeah. And he was fighting for extra yards toward the sideline. And the Eagles just swarmed him and were just punching at it. And it's one of those where, I mean, maybe the whistle could have blown. Maybe it didn't, though. It's fine. The guy was fighting for extra yards. But then the balls popped out. And then Jalen Hurts and Saquon get the ball at their own 35-yard line. And it's just really difficult to play from behind against these guys because of how they play offensively. And again, you can't just give them extra opportunities. For the Chiefs offense, just kind of continuing this conversation, though, I think the quick passing game that basically is an extension of the running game could be really beneficial in this game and effective. We saw that early in the Buffalo game with Hollywood, where it's those quick crossers over the middle. The ball's out lightning quick. And the Eagles pass rush is really good. They don't have the big sack numbers, but like Jalen Carter is like a beast in the middle. Mm-hmm. Nolan Smith, really good off the edge. Josh Sweat, really good off the edge. So we talk about like kind of taking what the defense gives you. Well, the quicker the ball gets out, I think the better in this game. Just be efficient, move down the field. And I looked up Mahomes' stats in the Buffalo game, when he was kept clean, there's 25 of those dropbacks. He was just surgical when kept clean. Went 14 of 19 for 163 yards and a touchdown. And his average time to throw on those was 2.5 seconds. That's pretty quick. So, of course, there's going to be opportunities to take some deep shots in this one and some longer developing plays. And you do things in the game to set those moments up. But for the most part, I think if we're able to use that quick passing game, take what the defense gives us over the middle, if it's a 12-play drive or a 4-play drive, as long as it ends in 7 points, it doesn't matter. That's my hope for this game, and the Chiefs have really done that really, really well over the last several games. Pittsburgh, they did it very well. Houston a little bit, but for sure against the Bills 2 weeks ago.
Another part of the Vic Fangio scheme is, will you stay disciplined? And will you protect the football? Because we're going to try to punch it out. And then the red zone becomes very important. If you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, it's always important. But against Philly, they were tied for fifth in the league during the regular season in red zone defense. You might guess these guys are good. In the playoffs, 4 of 10 are their three opponents in the red zone. We know the Chiefs struggled during the regular season, but they're 6 of 11 in the playoffs. But the red zone becomes paramount because the Phillies defense will make you work to get down there. If you don't turn it over, now you're there. But you don't have the big play, but now you're on the doorstep. Can you get the sevens and not the threes? And that's where Vic Fangio just continues to test you in every snap, side to side, down the field.
That's where being 4 of 6 against the Bills is such a big deal. You got to finish in the red zone against these really good teams. They're going to keep pressure on you offensively. What's Coach Reed going to cook up in the red zone this week, though? Because we know this. We've known this for years. It kind of seems like the national media is just now realizing it. But Coach Reed is going to put things on film during the year and then show you the same look in the playoffs and give you a totally different play. And we saw that in that Buffalo game. Who was it? Was it a Buffalo defender talked about how he had never seen Greg Rousseau. He's like, I have never seen that play before out of them, out of that formation. Never. It was the Mahomes.
The run.
Yeah.
And it's a double lead. If you watch it, you'll see. So they chip Rousseau and Pat's out there like it's a Lamar Jackson play. I mean, it's a quarterback lead. And with two guys out in front, we've never run that play.
Never run it before. And I assure you, there are things like that in the hopper for this game. So that's why you save your best plays and your best moments for the Super Bowl. But what's the genius of Coach Reed is he uses the whole season to set these things up and the game to set them up. I remember Jet Chip Wasp. The reason that worked, if you go back and watch the NFL Films Turning Point, is because earlier in the game, they ran a similar play where Tyreek cut in instead of cutting out. So the safety, when you're playing a guy like Tyreek, you have to rely on what you've seen. You shift your weight in, he cuts out, and we all know what happened after that. So there will be plays and moments in this game, and hopefully they lead to a Chiefs win.
It's Super Bowl 59, and here we are. The Chiefs are sitting right there and have pulled up to the Superdome with a chance to do something that no team has ever been done before. I'm going to get one last thought from you as we sit here just waiting for this.
Yeah, I think I just kind of finished with what we started with, that we've waited all year for this, and it's really the culmination of several years. This journey began, you know, when Patrick Mahomes first got here, when Coach Reed first got here in 2013, but also the last 2 years to win the Super Bowl against the 49ers, to win the Super Bowl against the Eagles 2 years ago, and now to have this chance to win three straight Super Bowls. We might never see something like this ever again, and we are living it. It's our team. It's in our lifetime, and we have an opportunity to enjoy it. Let's go get this thing taken care of on Sunday and enjoy the journey along the way. Just a little bit nervous.
If the Chiefs do this, I've said this, it'll have a 72 Dolphins feel to it.
Yeah.
Just as where this league's going to go, it's going to be that much harder to pull this off. And yes, Super Bowl I was historically impactful because it was the first ever Super Bowl. So that went beyond our franchise. Super Bowl IV was great, but that was us. Super Bowl, these last three have been us. This one is way more. This is the history of American sport. And the Kansas City Chiefs have a chance to do something that's never been done. And we're that much closer.